I was under great conflict this week, or for the past couple of weeks, on what to preach today. To step away from tradition, or to just stay the course in which we were already doing. I've got trusted people's opinions, and I asked the Lord, what do you want me to do? And I believe that amongst waiting, this is the result of what we're getting. So bear with me, because this is going to be a little bit different. And if you have your Bibles, be prepared to turn some pages. We all know the story of the birth of our Lord. It has been and will be today preached throughout churches all across America. But I felt something different. If you remember last year, we did a sermon on called How Jesus Came. And we talked about the historical, cultural context of Mary giving birth to Jesus. But I thought it was interesting that last week we talked of the crucifixion of our Lord in the Gospel of John, and this week we were supposed to speak about the resurrection of Jesus in the Gospel of John. So forgive me if I'm going to be jumping place to place, but there is a method to the madness, and I ask that you be patient with me as we go through this method of madness. Or goodness. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 20, please. And as you turn to John chapter 20, I will pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are, being our Savior. Lord, we are in so desperate need of you. I ask in the name of Jesus that you will show us who you are. Continue to let us have hearts of flesh and not hearts of stone as we go through your word today. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. There needs to be some type of icebreaker. Anybody down for an icebreaker? Awesome. But let's take the tension out of the room right now, and I'm going to take the tension out right now, at least for me. The Lord has given me an amazing opportunity to preach the gospel. There is nothing more honorable than that. I've experienced a lot of things in life, and I've had a lot of great things that I say, you know, hey, that's awesome. But being able to stand here every Sunday and preach the gospel is the greatest accomplishment that the Lord has given me. It's not something that I've earned. And so, because I have not earned the ability to preach the gospel to you, this is something that God has blessed me with. He has also blessed me today to have the honor to preach the gospel and have somebody that's listening right now who is a man that I always looked up to as a child. A man that I love with all my heart. I am truly, truly thankful that this man is here today. But it is about the Lord, not about me. So on that note, let's start the sermon. Let's break the tension. What do we know about angels? What do we know? I mean, it was like a question. You have to count it, email it out. But we know a little bit about angels. You know, we know that angels were messengers of God. We know that angels were there to present themselves to people. We know that they worship God in heaven. That's what we know about angels. We also know that there was a number of angels that have rebelled and are now considered what you call demons that are against God. But I wanted to emphasize on something that I noticed within reading not just the Gospel of John, but other texts of Scripture about angels and what they were doing. In John chapter 20, beginning in verse 1, what do we see here? We see now on the first day. Now, mind you, this is Jesus has been crucified and now has been buried. What does it say here? It says, now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb and we do not know where they have laid him. So Peter and the other disciple went forth and they were going to the tomb. And the two were running together and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. And stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrapped lying there, but he did not go in. And so Simon Peter also came following him and entered the tomb and he saw the linen wrappings lying there and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in the place by itself. Can I have a Kleenex? Can someone have a Kleenex? So that the other disciple who had first come to him, thank you so much. Oh, thank you. Oh, this is quality. So the other disciples who had first come to the tomb then also entered and saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scriptures that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their own homes. Why are we talking about the resurrection of Jesus today? I'm sure you're asking that question. Normally, pastors would read a story about Mary and Joseph on a donkey, which, again, not historically accurate, walking with a donkey, a pregnant Mary, looking for an inn. We normally hear that story. We hear it over and over again. But why on today is Lawan talking about John 20, about the empty tomb? Why is he talking about that right now? It's because of this reason. You understand that when you are in Christ, you are a walking celebration. Don't mistake me as being this prosperity, feel-good pastor. If you are in Christ, you are a walking celebration. Why? Because you have been saved by Jesus Christ. Because his resurrection has made you saved. We celebrate this because we belong to Christ. We are in Christ. We are one of his sheep. We are children of God. And all of this is because of two things. Jesus was born, and Jesus rose again. If you remember, I speak about it on Easter. I spoke about it last year. We celebrate, we take today to celebrate the birth of our Savior, but understand this is something that we must celebrate every day. It is not something that we just take December 25th for. If December 25th mattered that much, churches would have not canceled service today. But since it really doesn't matter, right, we celebrate our Savior every day. We celebrate the fact that He was born and the fact that He rises every day. We would have none of this unless Jesus was born. Unless Jesus died, unless Jesus rose again. So I decided to title this sermon this morning, Angels, Two Special Announcements That Led to the Foundations of Our Faith. Angels with two special announcements that would be the foundations of our faith. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 6. We know the story. Mary and Joseph were going off to register, and Mary was with child. She was not with the seed of Joseph, but she was with the doings of the Holy Spirit. It was not Joseph who had impregnated Mary, but the Holy Spirit had come in and overshadowed her, as the scripture says, and she became with child. Luke chapter 2, verse 6. What happens here? While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, Mary to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room there in the inn. For those of you that don't know and see the image of this story, I want to tell you something right now that 9 out of 10 chances it's been historically proven, and please do not jump up and get angry with me, but Jesus was not born in a barn. Normally, when a person had a home, they cut their home out of stone. So if you imagine a big mountain, they would cut their homes out of stone. You go into the stone, and guess what? They would have their animals, their livestock, and where would they hold their livestock when it was too cold outside? They would hide them inside. So they would cut out another part of stone to put the animals in. Are you seeing the picture? Yes or no? Okay, so it wasn't a situation where Mary and Joseph couldn't find a hotel. It was a situation where they did not have room in the living quarters of a stone-cut house. So they went into where the animals stayed. That's why we say that Jesus was not born December 25th, because it would have been cold. And if they're cold, then the animals would have been inside. But it wasn't cold. The animals were outside, so that's where they stayed. Do you see the picture? Okay. So chances are, and I don't have any pictures of it because I didn't take a lot of pictures in the Lawan Israel photo library about this, but they have a place in Bethlehem where they say that that's where Jesus was born. It's decked out very nice, and I really don't think that that's the actual location, but it is cut out of a rock. So in other words, you can say cave almost. It's not like, you know, a cave with bats and all that. But it was cut out. It was cut out of stone. Okay? Verse 8. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the field and keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born to you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be the sign for you that you will find the baby wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." We'll stop right there. What do we see here? We see shepherds. Isn't that interesting? Shepherds are watching their flocks by night. We talked about what a shepherd does. Do you remember? A shepherd is constantly watching his flock to make sure that no what gets to him. Yeah, no animals. So they're watching their flocks at night. Isn't it interesting that the announcement that was made was to shepherds? Who says that they are the good shepherd? Who? Why is it only coming all the way back there from you? Just one person. Who is the shepherd? Who's the good shepherd? The Lord is my, I shall not. Thank you. Is it interesting that the announcement of Jesus' birth the angels gave was to shepherds, which were considered low-class citizens historically? It wasn't given to some rich religious person, some name it and claim it person. It was given to the low-class profession, the people. Gotta be. Shepherds. Angels appeared and they're amazing. It's an amazing sight. But what do we see? We see fear, we see announcement, and we see wonder in this story. The angels come, they make the announcement. But these shepherds are afraid because of all of the... If you can imagine at night, back then, okay? You think about it. When you turn off all the lights and it's night outside, you know, you step outside and it's pitch black outside and you realize it's only like 6:30, but all the lights are off, it's pitch black dark. Imagine that you're watching, you're paying attention to your sheep. You may have a torch up or something like that, but to have the whole sky illuminated with these angels, making the announcement that Jesus has been born, and this is where you will find him, they were afraid. We would all be, wouldn't we? Last week, we all went to the pier after the Christmas party, to the pier over here, and I was terrified. It was pitch black. And the sounds of it was just amazing, was terrifying in an exciting kind of way. I do know this, that if one of us fell off that pier, we gone. Ain't nobody can see you. These men were scared, they were terrified. And he says, "Don't be afraid, I'm here to give you great news. And it's going to be for all people. Because unto us is born in the city of David, it is the Savior who is Christ the Lord." Do you understand the announcement that these angels were making? Since beginning, when Adam sinned, this is something that the angels, the heavenly hosts, I believe, have been waiting for. To make the announcement, today, a Savior is here. Who is Christ the Lord, the Lamb of God. So much so that when he made this announcement, that the shepherd said, let us go and see what's happening here. So they went off to go. With wonder, they went off to go. The angels screamed, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth. What does that mean? What does it mean when they say peace on earth when there's war going on everywhere? What does that mean? I'm glad you asked that question, because I was wondering about that myself. What does it mean, peace on earth? Oh, no, 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 no. Nice try. It could lead peace on earth, put peace in your heart. Well, how about this? Let's go to the book of Colossians. Hold on, hold on, hold on. Hold on, let's go to Colossians. Let's go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 21. And you know what? 21 and 22. And how about, you know, Willie, go ahead and read that for me, brother. Thank you. You were once alienated. In other words, before you came into Christ, you are at war with God. There is no shades of gray. You are for God or you are against God, one or the other. That's what this text is saying. That's what the text says throughout all of Scripture. There is never a place in the Bible that says that you are shades of gray. What does it say in Revelation? I see that you are neither hot nor cold. I would rather you be neither hot nor cold. I vomit you out. There's no shades of gray. So what does it mean when they say peace on earth? It's not about peace in your mind. It is about gone are the days that you are at war with God. The angels are celebrating something that they have been waiting for since the fall of man. Peace on earth. Peace on earth, yes, there's war going on, but gone are the days that you are at war with him. That's why Jesus said, it is finished. And in Colossians it says, although you were formerly alienated, you once were. Some of us still are at war with God. Not because we are intentionally saying, I'm going to fight you, God, but I have not accepted you as my Savior and Lord. And because you have not accepted Christ as Savior and Lord, you are not at peace with him. Is there anyone else that matters when it comes down to who you're at peace with? Right now, me and Scarlett are at peace. But last week we were fighting. Next week we're going to fight again. Started a war with Ben, but he went off to the Philippines. I couldn't finish the fight. So I won by default or forfeit. There's only one person that we need to be at peace with, and that's our Savior. We need to be at peace with God. We're only at peace with God through Jesus Christ. That's what it means when he says peace on earth. We'll talk about that a little bit more. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Are y'all with me? Yes. Matthew 28, beginning in verse 1. Another account of the resurrection. Now after the Sabbath has begun to dawn towards the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred. For the angel of the Lord descended from the heavens and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing were as white as snow. And the guards shook in fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid." Sounds familiar, doesn't it? "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here. He has risen. Just as he said, come see the place where he is laying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee, where you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. Let's see the parallel in this situation. We see a fearful situation. A great earthquake took place. And the angel appeared, and the angel was so fearful looking, just the power of it, that these guards just felt like they were dead men. But what did the angels do? The angels, we see here that the angels told the women to not be afraid, made the announcement, and then gave them instruction. Do not be afraid. You are looking for Jesus, but he is not here. He's arisen. He is risen. That is the announcement. Now go and tell. And what did the women do? They quickly left the tomb with fear as well as great joy. Similar to the shepherds. Do you see the announcements? The angels are making the announcements of Jesus' birth and Jesus' resurrection. This is powerful. Now, we don't have to go into full detail in this, but understand, the angels did not roll the... It wasn't like Jesus was in the tomb, okay? It wasn't like he was in the tomb just sitting here, just waiting. Waiting for the angels to roll the tomb back. No! He wasn't there when the tomb was rolled back. Jesus had rose again. His power, he rose again. It wasn't the angels that needed... He didn't need the angels to do that. I want to make sure that's clear. That Jesus wasn't just waiting around the tomb. But the angels make the announcement. He is not here. He has risen. The angels are making a strong announcement. And these two announcements, I tend to remember now, we are talking here about the resurrection of our Lord, but also today we are dealing with the birth of our Lord and Savior. The birth and his resurrection. Two announcements that have been made. Why is this important? We talked about it before. It's important because these two things are the fundamentals, part of the fundamentals of our faith. You understand that a lot of people believe Jesus. Would we all agree to that? But raise your hands, how many of you know that the Muslims believe in Jesus? Raise your hands if you know that. Raise your hands if you didn't know that. So the rest of you, no harms? Hey, if y'all don't know me, y'all know we like to have fun. You know what I mean? So, you know, just You know, if you don't have no arms, that's cool. You can do this. So how many of you know that the Muslims believe in Jesus? Raise your hands. How many of you did not know that? Thank you. How many of you think the Mormons believe in Jesus? Raise your hands. Believe as Jesus. Just as the historical Jesus. Not as Savior and Lord, just the historical Jesus. You understand that everybody believes Jesus. You know that the demons believe Jesus. There's a difference. The Jesus of the Jehovah's Witnesses are not the same as the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Mormon is not the same Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Muslims, you could say that, but they deny his deity. They deny that he is God. They believe in the historical Jesus. They believe that there's people that believe that Jesus was born of Joseph, was the seed of in the line of Joseph. They do not believe in the virgin birth. There's some people that do not believe in his resurrection. How many of you have heard of James Cameron? One of you, thank you. How many of you know that there's movies that are made every year? Has anyone ever seen movies? Church folk, come on now, all right? Has anyone not heard of movies? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, all right, Earl, you're the only one. Okay, fine. There's a movie that came out, Avatar. How many of you have heard of that? Okay, man, it's good. I mean, you know, I bet you if I was handing out dollar bills, I'd get way more hands out. I tell you. Anyway, the point I was trying to make is that the director came out with a documentary about We Found the Bones of Jesus. Did you know that? Yeah, James Cameron. The director of Avatar. The director of Titanic. I know you guys have never heard of it. Titanic was a big ship that hit an iceberg. Then he made a movie about it. They made two movies about it. Okay? A Night to Remember, way back in the day, Shirley Temple days. And then they made one with Leonardo DiCaprio. Okay? This guy, this director, big time director, okay? He made Terminator. Anybody know Terminator? Oh, no, I don't watch Terminator, Luan. Oh, gosh, that's not ungodly. Oh, no. Stop. Knowing that y'all was watching Die Hard yesterday. I'm joking. The point I'm making is that this guy, this great filmmaker, is claiming to have a documentary that claiming that they found the bones of Jesus. Right along with his mother and his brothers. Because historically in Israel, when you were buried, they would bury you until your body decomposed, and they would take your bones and put it into the family tomb. And they said that they found it. Wrong. They did not find Jesus' bones. There's no way. Either way it goes, this is an attempt to try to take away Jesus out of the Godhead. Take him out of his deity. Take him out of the fact that he is the great I am. And it's happening more and more. You see it now where people are saying, it's not, I believe in the universe. Do I need to tell you my massage universe story again? Someone said no. It's funny. I got a louder no than I got hands raised over in this section. Either way it goes, people use the universe, the energy, the stars are aligned. And all of these things are things that take us away from our Lord. It's Jesus Christ. Our hope of salvation I said that my wrap it up so that's my wrap it up cue. Pretty soon the mic's gonna go off and be like maybe the angels, huh? Yeah. The hope of our salvation is because we have a Savior who was born. We see it in the book of Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel. What does that mean in Matthew chapter 1 verse 23? Willie. God with us. It is prophecy fulfilled. God with us. Our hope of salvation is only because we have a Savior who was born. If you listen to the hymns, the Christmas songs, we see that theology, we see that truth. Adam and Eve sinned, severing the relationship between God and man. Don't you see? We had no hope. We are without hope. And there was no one, not a prophet, not a judge, no one in the Bible throughout Scripture that was able to pick up and pay the debt in which man had accumulated, had built up with. We were without hope. And there was a promise in Isaiah that we would have a Savior. And he will be called Emmanuel, God with us. All creation cried for this hope. Do you see it? The moment that Adam and Eve sinned, all creation has been crying for this hope of a Savior. And this Savior was here to come so that he may take away the sins of the world and end this age-old war between God and man. Don't you see that? If you're reading in the New Testament, throughout the entire New Testament, what we are seeing, and if you read through the Old Testament, all you are seeing is men full of sin and a holy, righteous God. When Jesus was born, the angels celebrated and made this announcement because gone are the days. We are no longer, does man have to be at war with God. So at this point right now, if you choose not to accept Christ as Savior and Lord, you are choosing to remain at war with him. But Luan, I'm a good guy. I'm a good gal. Doesn't matter. Our best are filthy rags. And it's because of Christ, when we accept him as our Savior and Lord, then we are made new, a new creation. If you remember about the war again, we talked about it earlier, we'll talk about it again because I believe in repetition. When Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 verse 9, he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called," what? Sons of God. Peacemaker. In the Greek text, peacemaker is a really complicated word. It is a person that is dealing with a situation where peace is being threatened or being absent. That's what a peacemaker does. This peacemaker is a person that is responding to a world that is thinking, has a thought process of hostility. Well, what does that mean, Luan? That means that that we naturally as people, not only are we enemies of God, but we were hostile towards him. Until we accepted Christ as our Savior and Lord, and then the Holy Spirit works in us, and as we spread the gospel to people, now we are the peacemakers. We are trying to spread peace, as the same peace as mentioned in Luke, by the way. The same peace, we are trying to spread it to people so that they may have peace with God. When you accept Christ as Savior Lord, you are now a peacemaker, and now you are made to be called what? A son of God, meaning that God himself has made you a part of him, and he is acknowledging you as part of his covenant people. Well, Luan, what about the nation of Israel? Don't worry about that right now. If you accept Christ as Savior and Lord, what does God do? God now accepts you and acknowledges you before all of creation and beyond that you belong to him. You are sons of God. You are children of God. And you are part of his promise covenant people. Do you hear me? And all of this is taking place. Why? Because Jesus was born. Our hope and our salvation. The joy of our salvation is in his resurrection. Jesus, our high priest, the true vine, the good shepherd, has defeated death. What does it say in Acts chapter 2, verse 23? It says that death could not hold him. So how can death hold us? What does that mean, Luan? I mean, we see people die every day. Yeah, we do. We see good people die every day. In our human bodies, we are still dealing with the curse of sin. As I said once before, and I'll say again, it was never a part of the original design for us to die. But when God says something, you best believe he means it. You take of this fruit, you will surely die. Can you imagine Adam and Eve when they witnessed their first death? The death of animals? Death of plants and vegetation? And even go as far as to see the death of their second born son? You notice that when you're reading the genealogies and the history in the Old Testament always talks about they lived this long and then they died. And then they lived this long and they had all these kids and then they died. And then they died. I think the scripture is making it painfully clear that we are experiencing the curse of sin. When we're talking about death here, we're talking about eternal death, internal damnation, eternal judgment. When we accept Christ as Savior and Lord, gone are the days that we deal with death. We may die in our bodies, but our spirits are still in Christ. And we will remain with him. Well, Luan, this is all fine of what you're saying, man. But, you know, I believe that Jesus married Mary Magdalene and they had kids, and I was watching Da Vinci Code, and I realized that that's more realistic, that he had a wife and he had children, and there is somewhere a Jesus bloodline. So you deny the resurrection. Well, I'm not denying Jesus, I just deny the resurrection. You're denying Christ 100%. Look at this. Look at it this way. Who can I use? If Julie walked up to me, let me use Julie. Julie walks up to me and says, "Luan, I need you to pray for this person." "Oh, yeah, okay, no problem." "Yeah, this one young woman, she's pregnant." I was like, "Oh, okay." "But we don't know who the father is." I said, "Okay, well, that's a great, you know, paternity court episode or a judge show or, you know, or a Maury show, you know, who's the father, right?" But it turns out that she'd never been with anybody. I would look at her with a side eye. Come on. For real? It's impossible for a woman to give birth to a child without certain events taking place beforehand. Will we all agree with that? Anyone disagree with that? It's impossible. Guess what? It was impossible back then too. It was impossible back then. It was impossible. How could you be with child and not been with a man? It's impossible. And even worse, Elizabeth, 379 years old, now she's having a baby? I'm joking. She wasn't that old, okay? I'm just saying. She was beyond the years, right? She was beyond the years. Impossible. She was 1,800 years old. She knew Moses. But we're going to stop talking about how old people are. We're not going to talk about how old people are, okay? Joni, please forgive me, but your mother's about 2,000 years old. And I love her. I had to say, I'm sorry, I had to. Jamie's grandmother is about 1,500 years old. Okay? I'm joking. She's actually 1,300, not 1,500. Anyway, I'm joking. Huh? No, that's okay. You know, I mean, she's laughing. Okay. See, so she's laughing, so I can continue with it. She was Mary's midwife. I'm joking. Anyway, the point that I'm making is that it was impossible. An older woman to give birth after the time in which she was able to, that was impossible. Mary, not being with a man, being pregnant now, it doesn't make sense in our mind because that's not what we know. So then why are we having such a hard time believing the resurrection? Jesus rose from the dead. So, you know, he rose from the dead. He was born of a virgin. These are things that are not possible. But it happened. It 100% happened. And death could not hold Jesus. Death could not hold him. He has victory over death, so that when we accept Christ as Savior and Lord, now we have victory over death. When we die and we leave this world and death closes our eyes for the final time, we will enter into eternal glory with God Almighty. For now, we're all on borrowed air. Borrowed air. You have not earned a breath that you breathe in. We are on borrowed air. And the question is what do you want to be? Do you want to be in war with God? Or do you want to be at peace with Him? Do you want to sit at His feet and listen to His teachings? Or do you want to wage war against His saints? We have a Savior who was born and who died and who rose again. That is so important to the foundations of our faith. And that's why when we talk about angels, angels were here to announce this beautiful joy. Because guess what? Guess what? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14, Willie, what does that say? It's somewhere in 1 Corinthians.
Okay, verse 14 says, "And if Christ, John, and if oh,
No, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14. In other words, what John is saying here, thank you for sharing that, if Jesus did not raise again from the dead, none of this would ever matter. We cannot have church worship our Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot do any of this. All of this would be in vain if Jesus did not rise again. He had to rise again. Death couldn't hold him. And this is a bad analogy, but I'm going to use it anyway. I'm going to use my good friend Scarlett. I'm going to say, you know what, this is what I'm going to do with Scarlett. I'm going to take Scarlett. I'm going to put her hand right on a table right here. Just put her hand flat on the table, just like this, right? And I'm going to take some of that Christmas pink one sheet of tissue paper, and I'm going to put it over her hand, and that's going to keep her trapped forever. She can never move her hand from that table. Do you see the image? Because it's so heavy, so strong, so impossible to break. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? You don't believe it? You don't believe that if I laid a little piece of tissue paper down, that it would be able to completely cover her hand and keep her hand locked onto that piece of paper? You don't believe it? No? Are you sure? This is even thicker than the tissue paper of Christmas, but you don't think that this piece of paper, Scarlett, can you come over here a second? I want to make sure we get this right, okay? Because this piece of paper is so heavy. Y'all about to see something amazing right here, I'm telling you. It's so heavy that when I put your hand right here on the piano. Now, so people can see, I'll have you turn around so people can see. All right? So when I put this, now don't move or anything, right? You got to let it marinate for a minute, okay? So, no, you're not shaking, but here's the thing. That paper is so strong, so powerful, that she is forever, unless I remove it, she's going to forever be stuck to that piano. Do y'all believe it? No. Okay, so let's see how strong you are, Scarlett. There we go, just right on the ground, right? So just as much as that piece of paper, that tissue paper, thank you, could not hold her hand in place, death could not hold our Savior. Impossible. It's not even possible. It's almost laughable. Jesus died on the cross for our sins so that we may be forgiven and have a relationship with him, but death could not hold him. And if he did not rise from the dead, everything that we have would be in vain. So the angels made a great announcement. Two powerful announcements in the New Testament. The announcement of our Savior being born and our Savior rising again from the dead. And these angels, though they celebrate and praise and worship God for his birth and for his resurrection, they also celebrate for us. In Luke chapter 15, verse 10, this is what it says. It says, "The same way I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." If you accept Christ as Savior and Lord, in heaven right now there are angels praising and worshiping God for you. Because this is what it was supposed to be. Scarlett says, "I want to accept Christ as Savior and Lord." And the angels say, "Yes, praise God." And they're giving him glory. And I like to think of it as our Lord standing there, proud. Maybe tears in his eyes. He is excited. And he welcomes you. Welcome home. Welcome to my rest. I will show you throughout all of eternity the beauties that will never get tiring, never get old. So at Christmas, Doesn't matter. We celebrate every day that we have a Savior that was born. We have a Savior that rose again. We celebrate that every single day because we are walking testimonies every single day of that fact. Let me ask you one last question. It's going to happen to all of us, some of us sooner than others. Two questions. This is God's word, yes? How many of you, if you were knowing that you had a day left to live, how many of you wish you would have spent more time in here? Would there be a regret that you didn't spend more time in it? I know some of you are great, perfect Christians just said, I spent all the time I could ever spend. I'm reading the Bible every day. I'm reading it right now, even as I talk to you. But for those of you that can analyze and think about your life, the one thing that we don't want to do is have death close our eyes and realize, Lord, I should have spent more time with you. When death closes our eyes and you're standing before the great I am, I've asked this question a lot of times before. I'm going to ask it again. When you look, I don't believe there will be even our new bodies be able to truly look. But if you look at the eyes of Jesus, you look in the eyes of God the Father, there's only two ways He's going to look at you back. One way could be He looks at you unfamiliar. Pity. Tearful. With not tears of joy, but tears of sorrow. Will you look at your Savior that way? Will He look at you as judge now? Well, Lord, I didn't know. I gave you 20 years. I've given you 50 years. I've given you 80 years on earth to come to me. If you want to break it down, I would remember. You remember on September 8th at 2:15 p.m. when that person said, God bless you, and you brushed them off? Do you remember these many weeks where someone has invited you from your job to church and you refuse to go? There's no running. There's no escaping. What can you say? Well, Lord, I'm sorry. No. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, I will look at them and I will say, depart from me, you worker of lawlessness. I never knew you. Knew, to know, ginosko, meaning to intimacy. A man knew his wife and gave birth to a child. To know, intimacy. I never knew you. Will you look at him as judge? Or will you look at him as the other way, as Savior? When he looks into your eyes, tears are in his eyes because he's saying, welcome. I've been waiting for this moment. I am excited. Come on. As we're going through the book of life and the other books, and Jesus says, wait a second. That's mine. That's the one I died for. And when they look at your life, everything that you've ever accomplished in your life, all you see is the blood of Jesus. I messed up in this situation. I messed up. I did this. I did that. I did all these horrible things. And Jesus is standing there as your advocate saying, my blood covered all of that. So now, when God the Father looks at you, He looks at you like He looked at Christ. And He says, come and enter into your rest. You don't have to worry about no more. He wipes every tear from your eye and you go into eternity. eternity in his rest. How do you want it to be for you? It's one or the other. There's no middleman going to probationary purgatory and just hang out for a little while until we figure out what we're going to do with you. It's one or the other. And I can guarantee you this last thing on today in which we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. People that are separated, eternally separated from Jesus Christ forever and separated from God forever, I guarantee you they are great witnesses for the gospel now. They may hate God, but they can't deny it. The choice is up to you. The angels made two great announcements: his birth and his resurrection. This was powerful because this was a part of our fundamentals of our faith. We have a Savior that was born. We have a Savior that died. We have a Savior that rose again. How much does the Lord love us?